Hello, listeners.
Hello.
Can you guess what you're listening to? If you can, then we don't know what you're guessing because we can't hear you. But
yeah.
You can hear us because we're a podcast and we're funk radio.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Peter. We are here once again to bring musical, funky things to your life.
Speaking of funky things, because I made the mistake of not really doing a lot of research before coming up with a topic for this week, we found out that Bootsy Collins, the godfather of funk,
one of many.
I was going to say, would you consider him the godfather of funk, or would you consider James Brown the godfather of funk? Or is Bootsy Collins the weird uncle of funk?
It's hard to say because there were kind of different sub-eras of funk, even within, I don't even want to say 10 years necessarily, that funk was around. I mean, probably more like 5.
Yeah, but it could qualify for one of the shortest, I guess, music genres to be popular.
It kind of started with James Brown with his dance pop sensibilities. But then, you know, a few years later, you look at like a band like Parliament Funkadelic, which is what I consider kind of like the leaders of what funk became in, I would say, the early to mid 70s or so, whereas James Brown was kind of like late 60s. But they took it to a lot more of just like a weird psychedelic kind of almost rock sound.
James Brown is like funk, but if funk was inspired by like almost rockabilly.
Yeah.
And then Bootsy Collins in that group in Parliament Funkadelic, I think, was more inspired by, say, like Sly and the Family Stone or something. More, and maybe a little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire, more of that sort of extraterrestrialness about them.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's kind of different brands of funk as you look at kind of the, I guess you could call it roughly a 10-year period of when it was kind of the most prominent, from the late 60s to the late 70s. And so I would hesitate to really name anyone
the godfather.
Godfather of it, just because it kind of went in a few different directions.
True. Well, speaking of funky people, Bootsy Collins is coming out with a new album within a week as of this recording? It's the 22nd.
As of this recording, it's 5 days from now, but by the time this comes out and the listeners are hearing this, it will probably already be released.
Sweet. So he has a new album coming out. It's called Worldwide Funk, and we got a little sneak preview of it thanks to NPR. They basically posted the entire album up on their website to listen. So
yeah, I think they have like exclusive pre-release.
Yeah. Yay for NPR.
Rights to it or whatever. So
National Public Radio. Woo.
So as we said, Bootsy Collins, we've mentioned his name a number of times on the show, but kind of as we were just discussing, actually, you know, he was one of those forefathers of kind of the funk genre. And you know, he was part of the bassist, maybe, and like one of the lead vocalists of Parliament Funkadelic back in the day. I think they are still touring, or maybe they stopped a few years ago. I don't exactly remember, but I know he has continued to be active in the music world since then. Obviously, he's released an album.
Not only that, I think he was featured on, I might be wrong, but I think he was featured on Snoop Dogg's last album.
Oh, that actually sounds familiar.
Yeah, right? Let me corroborate that.
Okay, so not only is he, you know, continuing to make music, but he's also, like you just said, he's collaborating with other people, kind of staying up with the times. He still definitely has his own style of funk music that, for the most part, it's kind of evolved into a more modern mix of like hip hop and kind of dance music, but it's still heavily in the funk realm as well, more so than other stuff you might hear today.
It says here he was featured in Snoop Dogg's single Undercover, which was released in 2015.
Okay.
Undercover Funk. I think there's a bylaw in Bootsy's contract that any song that has the word funk in it, he has to be featured on. It's like whenever someone says you're fired, they have to pay the Donald. Whenever someone says funk, they have to pay Bootsy.
That could be true. So as I was just saying about how he's collaborating with a lot of people, this album is no exception to that rule. I think all except one song on this album, he collaborates with, I think, two or three different people per song. Wow. In most cases. So needless to say, he has a lot of friends, but being as influential as he is, I'm sure it's easy to make a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a pretty cool guy, so yeah.
True.
So as you mentioned, we kind of just stumbled on this today, so I've only had a chance to listen through it all through once. It sounds like you're the same.
Yeah, so we're both coming off this pretty funky fresh.
Yeah. In typical album reviews, I prefer to listen to it a few times over to familiarize myself with it a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
It's all good.
I think I got a pretty good feel for it in one go.
Yeah. A little bit of info on the album before we kind of talk about what songs we liked or what we didn't like. Mm. It was recorded at Bootsy Collins' rehab studio in Cincinnati. It features tons of famous people, as you said, on different songs, including Dougie Fresh, which we've talked about before on the show,
mm-hmm.
Former Guns N' Roses guitarist Buckethead, funk bassist Elisa Benveniste, probably butchering that name, Snoop Dogg, as we talked about earlier, as well as some other sort of R&B and soul artists that are more kind of up and coming, aren't as famous, which is cool that Bootsy's kind of giving them a leg up. No pun intended.
Oh, because Boots.
Yeah. It was a bad pun, but it was a pun.
Those are generally in the same area of the body.
Boots and legs.
Yeah. So yeah, I found it pretty cool that, you know, there's so many different people working on it. Kind of a good mix of more up-and-coming people and kind of older, established, well-known people as well, which I appreciate.
Because
mm-hmm. Like you said, he's got Dougie Fresh on here, who was,
He's got Big Daddy Kane,
Big too. Daddy Kane, yeah. So he's got a couple of, like, old-school hip-hop people on here. Bunch of names I don't necessarily recognize, but it's a good mix. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'll make comment on more specific songs, but I don't know about you, Peter, but the best overall way that I could describe this album is if funk was kind of reborn in like the early to mid 90s, it really is like a mashup of funk and like 90s R&B.
Yeah, I can see that. And like I was mentioning earlier, it's got a bit of hip hop elements in there too, which obviously would have fit into that same time frame. So I'd be comfortable to say that is a pretty good way to say it.
Cool. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about songs we liked, songs we didn't?
You know,
there's 15 songs
especially
on the album, so.
Yeah, especially given, I mean, I'll probably have comments on a couple of songs, but especially given the fact that I've only listened to it once, it's going to be hard for me to comment on a lot of these individual songs.
Yeah.
So my thoughts will probably be more just talking about it overall.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a couple that kind of stood out to me for one reason or another. Did you have any yourself?
Yeah, I guess. So the opening song on the album is Worldwide Funk, hence the title track, I guess, featuring Dougie Fresh, Buckethead, and Elisa Benveniste, who we all mentioned earlier. This is, I think, a really good opener for the album because it kind of lays the groundwork of how the album's going to sound.
Yeah, I also really like the opening monologue as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a guy telling a strange story of where Bootsy first came from, but obviously it's like, you know, completely ridiculous. It kind of harkens back to some Parliament Funkadelic stuff, because they had a lot of
spoken word stuff
and kind of like mythology of just weird ass shit. Yeah, that was kind of, you know, out there. So I think in a way it kind of reminds me of that a bit. So I appreciate that aspect of it, but also the song itself as it gets into it is pretty good.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there's a good handful of songs in here that kind of have that similar spoken wordness about them. That's so emblematic of Parliament. But yeah, no, I think this was a good... It's very danceable. It's very in the realm of, I guess, you know, Parliament, Mothership type shit. I almost got a small sense of like a Stevie Wonderness in there a little bit too, but that's like 90s Stevie Wonder, you know? Like, maybe. There's actually another song I want to mention that I don't know who the artist is, but he sounds exactly like Stevie Wonder, and I thought it was at first.
Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, Worldwide Funk, title track on the album, definitely a good opener.
Are we going to play a clip of it?
I think we should, before I start skipping around and talking about other stuff. So another thing I was surprised about on the album was, like, none of the songs, at least that I noticed, were long.
No, not really. I think they're all within a reasonable time. I mean, like, five-ish minutes apiece.
I think, I think the longest one that I recalled was the song Comeback Bootsy. That's, like, 7 minutes. So that's pretty long. But, yeah, I mean, Parliament and Funkadelic and Parliament Funkadelic are known for... very long songs, so yeah. I'm glad they didn't do that here.
We have been talking about Parliament Funkadelic quite a lot in this episode. I feel like we should play an example song of theirs just to compare the sound between them and Bootsy now
and modern Bootsy.
Yeah, just to give Sounds our good. Listeners a little bit of context.
Okay,
so I don't actually know which song at the moment that I'm going to play, so I'll figure something out and I'll play it. So yeah, that's a comparison of
that was an unnamed Parliament Funkadelic song.
Yes.
Another song that stood out to me, I guess if I'm just kind of going chronologically, is number 3, Pusher Man, featuring Black Seeds and Mr. Talkbox. Now, this confused me because at first I thought it was like the Black Seeds, which I think we've talked about before on the show, but I don't think it's the same artist.
No, it's not. It doesn't look like it. I don't know who any of these people are, and I feel terrible saying that. But it's a good song, though, definitely.
Yeah, at first when I heard this, I thought it was going to be a just a Bootsy-ized rehash of Pusher Man by... Totally spacing. Peter, help me out here.
Oh, by... fuck, I can't remember his name either.
I know. Oh, brain fart. There was a whole movie where he did the soundtrack.
Oh, Curtis Mayfield.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be just a cover of, Pusher Man by Curtis Mayfield, but it definitely isn't.
Well, the title, I think the title is definitely a reference to that.
Yeah, it's definitely a reference, but it's not like a straight cover like I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and if, as long as we're talking about kind of influential funk stuff in this episode, tangentially, that Curtis Mayfield album, the soundtrack for Superfly, I mean, that's like one of the landmark funk albums of all time. So it doesn't follow the sound of that at all, but the name I guess is a kind of a callback to that.
Overall this album does have a lot of similar sounds and themes, so a lot of the songs kind of all fall within that sort of mixture of, you know, 70s funk, 90s R&B, 90s hip-hop. So you're not going to get a lot of variance in that sound, but it's one of those albums that I think is probably a good album to listen kind of all the way through.
Yeah.
Because it's a good, like, party album, you know?
Yeah. I actually do want to kind of respond to that, but I also want to go back to Pusher Man really quick.
Okay, sorry.
You keep pushing us ahead, man.
Sorry. You can push us back.
You're being a pusher, man. So first I'm going to play a clip of Pusher Man really quick. Get the monkey off your back. But I also wanted to mention the sound of that one is very similar to, like, if you're familiar with, like, Zap, for example.
Yes.
It's, I want to say they were more like late 80s, if I remember correctly. So that's, you could even consider that, like, another iteration of funk.
Zap, from what I remember, was very fond of, I don't want to call it auto-tune because it wasn't digitally done back then. I think it was called, like, the vocoder that makes your voice kind of sound robotic.
Yes.
They were very in love with that. And this song has a lot of that as well, which is, I think, where the Zapness kind of comes from.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess it's possibly Mr. Talkbox, one of the people on this song, who I'm looking up. Apparently, he's a Christian hip-hop and R&B musician.
That's funny.
Because I think a Talkbox is a similar...
Is a similar
thing,
device.
if not the exact same thing. I actually don't know much about that. That might be an interesting topic at some point. Oh, actually, there was one song I wanted to mention that stood out to me. Not necessarily that it was sound-wise my favorite song, because it wasn't, but jumping down to track 11, A Salute to Bernie.
Bernie Sanders.
So when I saw that title, I assumed that it was saying, like, hey, thanks, Bernie Sanders, for trying to help us out, and thanks for helping us out with stuff.
Thanks, Colonel Sanders.
Thanks, Colonel. But then I also noticed that this features Dr. G and Bernie Worrell, and I thought, okay, it's probably not Bernie Sanders. It's probably a salute to this Bernie, but I don't know who that Bernie is, and I don't know why they're saluting to that person. So I looked it up.
Okay, I was going to say, I was about to explain, but since you looked it up,
No, tell us, Kyle.
No, Peter, you looked it up. I just happened to read it in the article, so.
Oh, I didn't read the article. Well,
Peter,
tell us. I listened to the album. That's the important part. Well, okay, so I didn't know Bernie Worrell was apparently one of the founding members of Parliament Funkadelic, along with Bootsy. He died mid last year in 2016. So I'm assuming, being a longtime collaborator with Bootsy, I'm assuming this is like his sending off song, I guess, for one of his oldest friends.
The funny thing is, at least it mentioned in the article, if you would have read it, is that
why is
he
that
had
important?
Some record.
Actually,
I don't
probably,
know.
It probably is, because it would have given me a lot of context that we probably should have as people reviewing an album.
I just, yeah, no, I just wanted to mention that the reason it says that it's featuring Bernie Worrell, even though he's dead,
right, yeah,
is that he, as in Bootsy, had a ton of Bernie's recordings and basically was able to sort of posthumously put them in there. So he basically, like, created a song that was just a total homage to him using recorded stuff.
His own
that he's
unused
done.
Recordings.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So that is really cool.
Well, let's give it a
pure,
listen.
I thought it was political.
Yeah, let's give it a listen, and you all can think about Bernie Sanders while you listen to this song. It's hard to appreciate what you got when you got it, until they call you and say, I have it, bought it. So you were, I completely stopped you earlier when you were trying to talk about the overall sound of the album.
You did?
And
I didn't even notice.
I guess I was the pusher man after all.
All I was saying was that the combination of a lot of these new R&B artists that they're bringing on, 90s, famous 90s artists like Big Daddy Kane and Dougie Fresh and Snoop Dogg and Bootsy Collins kind of gives this whole album like a multi-generational feel, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's almost like if you took like music from the 70s all the way to now, that you'll find some segment of almost all of it in some of these songs, including like, you know, 80s Guns N' Roses type stuff. Speaking of that, the a song that really kind of felt very 80s to me is this song Hot Saucer, featuring Music, Soulchild, and Big Daddy Kane, which I guess makes sense, because wasn't Big Daddy Kane kind of 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, this definitely, yeah, I can get that 80s vibe from it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like 80s with like a little bit of like early 2000s R&B, like post NSYNC Timberlake. I don't know.
Yeah, I can hear that.
But it talks about food, which makes me really hungry. hot sauce and collard greens.
Well, this one caught me off guard because I was not really looking at the track list. I was just doing other stuff but listening to the album. And I start hearing them singing about cornbread and collard greens. I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, what is this song? It's Hot Saucer. So I actually did, and I obviously can't recall any of the specific lyrics at the moment, but there were a lot of there's a lot of metaphorical language in the lyrics with having to do with food and love and affairs and that kind of thing. And I wish I could pull out like a specific example of it, but I found that lyrically it was kind of an interesting song as well.
Yep.
So why don't we listen to a short clip of Hot Saucer so that you listeners can feel the hot sauce in your ears.
So yeah, that was Hot Saucer.
Are you a hot saucer, Kyle?
Sure. It's fun because it's like Flying Saucer, which kind of definitely goes along with the Bootsy space theme, but it's also like hot sauce. Do you think Bootsy has a custom hot sauce named Hot Saucer?
You listeners can tell us on Facebook if that's true.
Follow up question: do you think Bootsy would do well on that YouTube channel Hot Wings or Hot Ones, where they eat hot wings while interviewing?
I've never heard of that.
Dude,
you would probably do pretty well, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Hot Ones is you totally gotta follow it if you don't. It's a YouTube channel where this guy lays out a series of progressively hotter hot wings, and the interviewee, I guess, you know, they ask him questions or stuff while they're eating them, and if you make it all the way to the end, to the final wings, you're given like 30 seconds of, you know, open air, I guess, to kind of plug whatever your movie or project is. But if you don't, then you can't, I guess.
That's funny.
And he's had everyone on there from like Bryan Cranston to Seth Rogen to a lot of famous people. He had Coolio, which was fucking hilarious. Because Coolio's, he still has the goofy hair that he had back in the 90s. And towards the end of the episode, like, he was at the hottest wing, and he thought he was, like, being a badass, so he took the hot sauce and, like, put a ton of it on there.
Oh, my God.
And even the guy's just like, who, and this guy, you know, does the show pretty much, look, at least weekly or if not monthly.
Yeah.
So he's used to it. And Coolio goes and eats it, and his eyes just start watering like crazy. It looks like he's crying. And I'm like, oh, I guess he's not in a gangsta paradise anymore.
But you and I still are.
Yes. So, back to the funk at hand. Another song that stood out to me because I got like a super Stevie Wonder vibe from it is the song Snow Bunny, which is number 9, featuring Tyshawn Colquitt, Snow Bunny, and Worldwide Funk Drive. I don't know what any of those are.
And you read the article too.
Exactly. There's a verse that is sung in this song that, when I first heard it, I wasn't really looking at the track listing, so I'm just like, wait a second, DSD Wonder on his, you know, on his album, but it wasn't Stevie Wonder, it was someone else.
You know what, I didn't even catch this while I was listening to it, that's vocal similarity, I guess.
It's like if Stevie Wonder and Jamiroquai had a baby, that's what it sounds like.
That's, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they would have a baby, that should never happen. Speaking of Jamiroquai, I mean, because Jamiroquai kind of falls into his own realm of like that late 90s, early 2000s funk revival. That's another sort of subgenre that I get a big sense of here, that sort of electro-funk style about it. But yeah, no, cool. This is a really good song called Snow Bunny. Let's play the clip that sounds like Stevie Wonder so listeners can tell us that we're crazy and it doesn't sound anything like him. I just want our listeners to talk to us.
Let me get me touch your soul. Put the fuck up in your- you a snow bunny, Kyle?
Maybe. I think, I don't know what, like, the, I think it's like, you know, like when you go skiing and there's like a hot girl and she's wearing like yoga pants. Here we go. Snow bunnies are hot chicks found on the snow slopes of the world.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like you are a snow bunny.
A girl that goes to the mountains to wear cute ski snowboard clothes, to drink hot chocolate and hit on the hot ski lift boys, usually not very good at skiing / snowboarding.
So this is pretty much exactly what you were starting to describe.
Yes. It's basically like snowbound basic bitches.
I kind of like the song Ladies Night as well, track 7.
Another one that I totally thought was going to be like a cover
of the Kool & the Gang
of
song.
Ladies Night by, yeah, yeah.
Another good funk song from back in the day. Yeah, it seemed like they were calling out basically women of all colors and races and being like, y'all got it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's MC8 that's like the person doing the rapping on this, but it's really good. I like them.
Yeah.
Makes me want to look up more of her shit. Should we listen to a little clip of that, Peter?
I think we should. Not a dancer. A few drinks in, I might just change my answer. So come and kick it with the tribe if you feel the vibe. Every time I spit a rhyme, the funk come alive. I had the funk since I was 5, bumping funk to 5. Born 1990, but I'm way ahead of my time.
Do you listen to Snow Bunnies?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. If we didn't, then here you go, listeners. Oh, no, we did. We did.
Okay.
Because remember, I asked you if you were a snow bunny.
Oh, that's right. I thought that was just a general question, not a lead-in to the actual playing of the song.
I don't remember.
I'm terrible.
At some point by now, I will have played a clip of that.
Just, we'll just fix it in post, Peter.
I'll fix it in post.
Touché.
Oh boy. I don't really think there's any other specific songs that really stood out to me, really.
The only other one that did that I want to mention really quick, because it totally made me think of Childish Gambino, is track 13, Worth My While, featuring Callie Gucci. The reason that I'm mentioning this song is because it sounds eerily similar to Redbone by Childish Gambino. The beat, the tempo is the same, the notes are very similar.
Yeah, okay. This is another case where I wouldn't have thought of that on my own, but hearing that and comparing it with this song, I can see a little bit of similarity there, yeah.
How about this? How about we play the two songs back to back and let the listeners tell us if we're crazy?
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Just make it happen, Peter.
So what am I doing? I'm going to play Worth My While.
We're going to play Worth My While by Bootsy Collins, and then we're going to play a bit of Redbone by Childish Gambino to kind of show how they sound really similar.
Okay.
And then our listeners are going to go on Facebook and tell us, y'all are full of shit.
At facebook.com/getyourfunk. And then they will tell us there. For those who are interested in hearing more of that Childish Gambino-esque stuff, we did actually review that the album that song is from, Awaken My Love. Wow, that was almost a year ago? Holy shit.
Yeah, that album came out like last fall
December
or last December.
7th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we reviewed his album in episode 177. So
nice.
So, overall, final thoughts of this album?
Final thoughts. Overall, it's really good. It's cool that Bootsy features a lot of people. It's cool that he still has that kind of Bootsy sound, but kind of is incorporating it with other genres of music. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a testament to how good of a funk person he is, even at his age.
How old is he?
I don't know. Old as fuck.
Old as funk.
He's 65.
That's
good lord. He's officially entered Social Security funk.
That's funny. Maybe that'll be the name of his next album.
His next album is like Medicare Funk.
And featuring Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
So my overall thoughts of this album, it's definitely good. And it definitely is Bootsy, and his sound, you know, so no real, detraction from that. Something, I don't remember if you already mentioned it. I don't know. I guess you did, how a lot of the songs kind of sound similar to each other. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good going on in this album, but there is not a lot of variety track to track, I guess. I actually had this when I was listening to this earlier. I actually had to stop about halfway through and give myself a break for a couple hours before I finished. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that with not that it's the same necessarily style of music as Parliament Funkadelic, but I've also noticed that when I'm listening to them, I can only take so much before I have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't like it, but for some reason, there's something about it that's, I don't want to say overwhelming necessarily, but it just,
it's heavy.
It puts a lot in your brain and you kind of have to just stop and let it empty out before you can listen to more. And I kind of experienced that with this album too, for mm-hmm. some reason. And I'm not exactly sure what that is.
I think you need to expand your mind, Peter, and your ass.
And my
follow.
Ass will follow. Yeah.
Since you said that, I did kind of take a break as well to take a shower. So
to clean the,
I kind of have to
dirty a funk,
to clean the funk out of my ears.
If you listeners think Kyle should record the next episode from the shower, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. And if you say he should do it, then he has to do it.
How about I record it while taking a bubble bath? you just hear like sloshing water and like me playing
God,
the bath toys.
The what do you call it? The reverb or whatever in the bathtub plus the sloshing water and shit. That would be horrible for me to edit, so don't do that, please. what else we got? Oh, we got getyourfunk.com. That's our website. As I mentioned, you know, you could go there and look up our episode we did a while back on the Childish Gambino album. Or if you just want to see what else we've got in terms of episodes and topics, we've got quite a lot. So, and it's not all strictly funk. We talk about a lot of different music things. So that's a thing. This is actually probably the first strictly funk topic that we've talked about in quite a while.
We're going back to our roots.
Mm-hmm. And back to our boots.
Yeah. Terrible.
All right. Well, you listeners will hear us next time, and we won't hear shit from you. Bye.
Bye.